Question is coming from Elaine in Telford, Shropshire today. Thanks, Elaine. Do you think banks have the right to close accounts of people that hold political views they don't agree with?
Shouldn't they have a right to say who they do business with and who they don't? We're here to connect you with others with the same interests and worries that you may have. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. I'm Stuart the Wildman Mabbott, and as I always say, I write about nature, I talk about nature, I make nature part of people's daily life in the hope they'll want to protect it. Who's the co-host?
I'm William Mankler. Now, sometimes the questions that you're sending in to us are seemingly disconnected from the environment, but we always try and bring the conversation back round to an environmental slant, at least. Yes, I'm William Mankler. Thanks very much for being with us for yet another episode of this glorious podcast, Stuart. I think that's how we could kind of call it these days, because we're getting towards our 500th episode, which is quite a feat of engineering, as it were. I'm a photographer. You'll find me behind a camera. You'll find me flying a drone. You'll find me behind a microphone like I am right at this moment. And you'll find me in front of an audience, which I was recently in the village of Flora in Northamptonshire. That was a very dark place because it was in the countryside, wasn't it, Stuart?
Yeah, and it was nighttime.
It was, that's probably the main reason why it was so dark.
Yeah. Anyway, so we answer the questions that you, the listeners, send in. And we're here to try and change the narrative and broaden it out at the very least. Try and keep the big issues in your consciousness, and through actions we try and address what we've discussed during the episode. One thing I would like to raise is a little bit of a pat on the back for ourselves. We've been running a fundraiser to get me a couple of wheelchairs to get me back out working, William.
Yes, there's one sat in the corner now, isn't there, of your room?
Yeah.
Mostly indoors, but it has got outdoor capabilities.
Yeah, and so that's because of the Just Giving campaign, justgiving.com/crowdfunding/wildmanonwheels. And if you go to that, you can actually donate. Now, some people have been donated straight into the bank account, so it's not all been raised through the Just Giving, but... We're doing well.
It's a sign of success that we've been able to manage to fund this new wheelchair and also the All-Cam Digital Reader as well.
Yeah. So various gadgets that helps me get out there and continue the work we do, me and William together and individually. And that's thanks to you. So a little bit of a pat on the back for us and a pat on the back for you. Anyway... Indeed. Who's the question from and what is the question?
Question is coming from Elaine in Telford, Shropshire today. Thanks, Elaine. This is not Elaine's first question.
I don't think it'll be her last either.
Thank you very much. It's good to have. It's always good to have new people come in with new questions, especially particularly when they're from different new parts of the world. We like that. But we equally enjoy returning questions. It means that you're engaged with the podcast enough to want to send another question in and test us in some ways and see where we take the conversation, Stuart.
Yeah, I'd like to revisit Telford in Shropshire, where Elaine's from. It used to be indoor speedway, ice speedway.
I knew it was going to be a speedway connection.
Yeah, but I used to go there every February. But there you go.
Yeah, every time Stuart goes, I really want to revisit a place in the UK. It's like a speedway, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Elaine, thank you very much for your question. Elaine's question today is, after the Coutts Bank Nigel Farage scandal, do you think banks have the right to close accounts of people that hold political views they don't agree with? Okay, they were wrong to discuss Mr. Farage details with a journalist, but should they be allowed to decide who they do and don't do business with? Now, I understood that it was just the fact that he didn't have enough money to be a Coutts Bank account holder.
Yeah, I think you have to be a millionaire to be able to have a Coutts Bank or
you have
something.
To have a certain amount of money in your portfolio, if for want of a better phrase. I thought that was the reason, was it?
Yeah.
Was it political? I didn't hear anything about it being political, apart from people trying to make it political because of who the person actually was.
This is very true. I mean, do you think the banks have the right to close the accounts of people that hold political views they don't agree with? Well... I'm not sure, as you say, William. I'm not sure that's what happened in this instance. I think they just revealed publicly that he didn't have enough money.
Yes.
But it's very easy to think because he is very rebellious and on the fringes and goes a different way. It's yes. very easy to think somebody somewhere made a decision that for Nigel Farage to
I think he sees conspiracies everywhere. Yeah,
exactly. But regardless of that, if a bank becomes aware that one of their customers is doing something that really goes against their philosophy as a business, shouldn't they have a right to say who they do business with and who they don't?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, but it also depends. It's almost like is that giving the particularly a bank too much power? You know, is it giving
it can tip over in that? Yeah,
just.
So what you're saying is,
a bank is not going to allow somebody to have an account with them because of their political views. You know that they are, whatever their political slant is, it goes against what the bank believes in, and then they stop them banking with them. Surely, I would always thought that the bottom line for a bank is how much money that individual actually has. It's not a matter of, I thought that would be their bottom line.
So you got these oligarchs, Russian oligarchs.
Yes.
You know, is it justified for a bank just to say, no matter how much of a crook you are, you can still invest with us?
Well, that's always been the thing that's been levelled at banks, is that they are corrupt and they do allow money to go through their accounts, regardless of where it's from. I mean, there is money laundering laws and also trying to clean up the banking system. I think there's a move to try and clean up the banking system. But money. The thing is, money's always quite a dirty thing anyway, isn't it?
So what I was going to say is, I've run a gardening business.
Yes.
Sometimes a customer will come in and I just, for whatever reason, I might not take the work. And that could be just, I don't want the job. I might not like the person. Or there is something ethically that I think I don't want to do business with this person. And I said at the top of this, should banks be allowed to make that same decision? But are we saying here that not all businesses are the same? If a bank is more powerful, regardless of the corruption you've mentioned,
yes,
whether that's true or not, do you think it's not the same ethics for every business, because some businesses have more power, so their ethics should be?
I don't know. Maybe it's a question of difference between ethical and legal. Essentially, you know, is it legal for somebody for a business to choose who they have? And when there was a scandal a few years ago, where a bed and breakfast somewhere in the UK refused to have a same-sex couple under their roof, and that was a huge scandal. And it's like that is, you can see both sides of the argument for that. So you know, it's discrimination, absolutely. Because you're discriminating against somebody because of their sexuality, which is ridiculous. Because it doesn't really flipping matter what somebody's sexuality is, as long as somebody turns up as a customer, paying customer, and they're a good paying customer. But on the other side, it's their business, and possibly with the B&B, for example, it's their home. That actually, it should be their decision. How do you balance those two things out? And how do you balance a bank being able to say, I want this customer, I don't want this customer? Because actually, in a way, they're discriminating. Coutts, you could say Coutts are discriminating because they're discriminating via how much somebody actually has, by how much money somebody has in their bank, or how much wealth somebody has. I wouldn't be able to get a Coutts bank account. Is that discrimination, or is that just a business choice?
Yeah, I've only ever had one customer pay me with the Coutts bank check. You know,
did you frame it?
Well, yeah, it just opened my eyes to how much money this woman had.
Yes.
Anyway, I mean, because you were saying that B&B that it didn't want single sex couples. I mean, it just reminds me of the 1970s when you used to see signs in windows of B&B saying, "No Irish, no blacks, and no dogs."
Yeah,
I remember seeing that with my own eyes.
Yeah, which is incredible if you think about it. But you know, because sometimes you can kind of think about, well, actually, it just reminds me of a story I heard recently. It was about an historical thing that happened in America where segregation was still a thing in American history. That segregation was still a huge thing in the South, but it wasn't in the North. And this black nurse had moved north to work in New York. And they actually said in some ways they preferred living in the South because the segregation was really obvious. Mm. This is where you can go. This is where you can't go. I'm not defending that in any way, shape or form before I go on with this story. I'm not defending this. This is just what the story was. But in New York, the segregation was still there, but it was like it wasn't so overt, it wasn't so obvious. Mm. You know what I mean? So I'm just thinking about like that political discrimination surely happens without actually you really knowing it's happened.
Mm.
You know, so Nigel Farage being, I would have thought actually in some respects that Farage being a customer of Coutts is probably something that it could also be a reputational thing as well. You know, not necessarily political, but just how he behaves in public space. He's a very odd and strange individual, I find. Mm. I wouldn't even use the word divisive. I think he's just a very odd individual, and I think that may have played part of their part of their decision. They might have actually been like, well, he's verging on being not having enough wealth. Now is an opportunity to get rid of him.
Yeah, I might have gone on. Let's read the question again, see if it resonates different.
Exactly, yes.
After the Coutts Bank and Nigel Farage scandal, do you think banks have the right to close accounts of people that hold political views that they don't agree with? Okay, they were wrong to discuss Mr. Farage's details with a journalist, but should they be allowed to decide who they do and don't do business with? Is it wrong for them to discuss details with a journalist?
I think there's some breach of confidentiality going on there, potentially, even on the lightest. You know, the fact that he no longer had an account is a breach of confidentiality in some respects. However, it would have come from him anyway.
Yeah,
because that's just how he operates. I have very strong views against about Farage. I think he's a bit of a moron. That if you take his name out of it, Mr. Farage, or it could be Mr. Smith, discussing with the journalist is a bit bad for business, I think.
Yeah.
But I remember sort of like how within football, for example, you know, the best managers in football, Alex Ferguson being a great example. When he wanted to tell a player off or talk negatively towards a player or just have a really difficult discussion with him, that would never be done in public. Mm. He would never talk about it in public. He talks about it behind closed doors in private. It's a private conversation, and in public is a very different thing. And I think that's really what they should be doing. I mean, I think Farage definitely made it more than it actually was as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's one of these Brexit benefits that he's been talking about all these years. Yeah.
And talking about revealing things, we've been revealing for quite a while now that when 2024 arrives, we're changing our release schedule for this podcast, William.
We are, yes. We're going to once a week. So currently we are Sundays and Tuesdays at 10 o'clock. We are sticking with Sunday's release at 10 o'clock. The episode structure is also going to change. So currently we discuss one listener question per episode. So that's two episodes, that's two questions a week. We're just going to do one episode, but we're still going to discuss two questions. It's going to be interesting to see what the dynamic of those two questions is.
There might be very, very different questions in one episode.
Exactly. Yeah. And also just how this podcast changes. And that's exactly why we're doing this. It's to freshen the podcast format up for ourselves. Mm. To keep it interesting for you, and hopefully you'll come along with us and still listen the same way you have been in the past.
I'm very aware that if we have two questions in one episode, somebody might only be interested in listening to the second question and not the first. Well, there is the forward scroll button, but also I think by exposing people to a question they might not have considered while they're listening, waiting for the question they are interested in, expose them to other thinking on other subjects. So, you know.
Yes, and I'm also thinking that, you know, that you listen to question A and you're considering that what we've discussed and, you know, you disagree with us, agree with us, neutral, whatever. Then the second question comes around. You've already got that information in your head from the first question. It'll actually inform how you think about the second question, or it will colour it in some ways. So actually, it might be you might come up with different learning because you've heard do two questions in one episode. That's just...
Yeah, who knows? We're just trying to freshen it up.
Just keeping it fresh, yes.
Anyway, this has been the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. If we had our time again, we'd have a shorter title, but it's part of the People's Countryside project. So,
I really think we should put our name in the hat for the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest podcast title.
Exactly. Anyway, I've been Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. He's been
William Ancler. Thanks very much for being with us. And I'm now going to take a sip of tea.